song. I'll be home. I'll be home.
And good afternoon. It is. Let me adjust some volumes here. There we go. I think it's a little better. Thank you for tuning in to CFRC 101.9 FM. It's about a half a minute or so after 4 o'clock. Well, we're located here in Lower Carruthers Hall, Queen's University, Kingston, Ontario. My name is Bruce, and this is Finding a Voice, spoken word program airing here every Friday afternoon from 4 to 6 o'clock. We do stream live online as well at www.cfrc.ca. Excuse me. And coming up in the show today, sort of in a continuation of what I started last week. Again, this was a gift given to me, oh my God, probably 12, 13 years ago, a 4-CD set of poems called Poets on Record, 98 Poets Read Their Work, 1888 to 2006. And thank you, Alice, for that gift. Still using it, still listening to it, still playing it on the air every once in a while, too. And I have chosen different ways of presenting it, all the way offering probably a 3 to 5 minute bio of each poet that I air. But those are in times where I have the ability to spend a lot of time on other work outside of the Kingston area, or at least the Ontario area. So I'll do something like that then, but kind of just to... For a couple of reasons, could not get into or wasn't able, let's put it that way, to get into the recording studio to do some editing of local things I have recorded. So my apologies to those people whose work that hasn't aired yet, but it will soon. But I thought, well, let's... do a shorter run of this because I really love this CD collection. Last week I started out thinking I was going to do two discs, the first two discs last week, and then finish up with disc 3 and 4 this week. But what I've decided is that there's so much, and the poetry is exceptionally good on the third and fourth disc. It is on the first and second disc as well, but there are some that I couldn't play either because I didn't think they would air decently because, again, these aren't mastered. They were recorded in the technology at the time, and I just didn't think they would. There are maybe half a dozen that just couldn't go out, and then others for other reasons I had to. There were just too many. I was trying to put too much into 2 hours is what I'm trying to say. So I wanted to make sure and include as many of the poets who were on each of the third and fourth discs the opportunity to be able to – I wanted to have the opportunity to be able to select and get those on the air. So what I've opted for is just moving to disc 3 this week. Disc 4 will be next week, but also just to kind of break it up and also to fill in the gaps a little bit because we also need a little more meat, I guess, in each hour of today, so I'm including a little bit of music. Plus, I just think that works really well together to play a few readings from a few poets. Last week, it was back-to-back where it was just a steady stream of me introducing the poet and then them reading, then me introducing the next poet. So I thought this would offer each a little more time. Also, one thing I thought last week after I finished the show is that I didn't mention the titles of the poems. Most of the poets include them in their reading, but some didn't. And so I want to make sure and do that today. So the way it's going to work today is you're going to hear strictly from disc three again, but you'll hear in sets of maybe four or five or so poets, and then a bit of music, and then another set of the poets. And I think it's going to probably, I don't know, feel better. the show might feel better this week than it did last week. But I was happy to get those earlier poets on the show and to start then this three-week series. So in the first hour from a four-CD, again, the four-CD set of poems called Poets on Record, 98 poets read their work, 1888 to 2006. In a selection from Disc 3, you'll hear readings by 10 poets, Adrienne Rich, Al Young, Amiri Baraka, Audre Lorde, Charles Simic, David Ray, Derek Walcott, Diane Wachowski, Erica Young, and Etheridge Knight. And as mentioned, there are going to be a couple of songs. I'll just let you know that ahead of time, in both hours, actually. So in the second hour, then, coming again from that same collection, you'll hear readings by 12 poets, mostly, again, from these. They were the early to mid-1900s. Last week, these all are more in the mid to late 1900s. So you're going to hear poetry by Gary Snyder, Gloria Vando, John Updike, Joseph Bodsky, Lucille Clifton, Marge Piercy, Mark Strand, Paul Zimmer, Richard Howard, Seamus Haney, Simon Ortiz, and Sylvia Plath, again, with a bit of music. And my usual start of the hour announcement is occasionally some poetry, spoken word, or music played on this show may contain strong language, but all will be played as much as possible in its entirety to honor the creative integrity of both the author and the piece. So again, as we move through, I'm going to... I just got this idea, too, and I think that's going to make it even better. I'm going to introduce, instead of each poet as they come up, I'm going to introduce the four poets, or the set of poets, could be four or five, and the name of the poem they're going to read, and then I'll play those back-to-back, and then I will also tell you again after what you just heard, so that way I think it'll be... It should be pretty complete, let's just put it that way. There's probably a better word, but I can't think of it. So anyway, we're going to start out with Adrienne Rich and the poem Diving into the Wreck. Then you're going to hear Al Young with his poem Lester Leaps In. Then Amiri Baraka with a set of short poems, Bang Bang Outishly, Rhythm Blues, and Shazam Duwa, and then Audre Lorde with the poem Dahomey. Okay, let's go ahead and see if I can make this all work. How's that? There we go. Let's try it. Here we go.
Diving into the Wreck. First, having read the Book of Myths and loaded the camera and checked the edge of the knife blade, I put on the body armor of black rubber, the absurd flippers, the grave and awkward mask. I am having to do this not like Cousteau with his assiduous team aboard the sun-flooded schooner, but here alone. There is a ladder. The ladder is always there, hanging innocently close to the side of the schooner. We know what it is for, we who have used it. Otherwise, it's a piece of maritime floss, some sundry equipment. I go down, rung after rung, and still the oxygen immerses me, the blue light, the clear atoms, of our human air. I go down. My flippers cripple me. I crawl like an insect down the ladder, and there is no one to tell me when the ocean will begin. First the air is blue, and then it is bluer, and then green, and then black. I am blacking out, and yet my mask is powerful. It pumps my blood with power. The sea is another story. The sea is not a question of power. I have to learn alone to turn my body without force in the deep element. And now it is easy to forget what I came for. Among so many who have always lived here, swaying their crenellated fans between the reefs. And besides, you breathe differently down here. I came to explore the wreck. The words are purposes, the words are maps. I came to see the damage that was done and the treasures that prevail. I stroke the beam of my lamp slowly along the flank of something more permanent than fish or weed. The thing I came for, the wreck and not the story of the wreck, the thing itself and not the myth, the drowned face always staring toward the sun, the evidence of damage worn by salt and sway into this threadbare beauty, the ribs of the disaster curving their assertion among the tentative haunters. This is the place, and I am here, the mermaid whose dark hair streams black, the merman in his armored body. We circle silently about the wreck. We dive into the hold. I am she, I am he, whose drowned face sleeps with open eyes, whose breasts still bear the stress, whose silver, copper, vermeil cargo lies obscurely inside barrels, half-wedged and left to rot. We are the half-destroyed instruments that once held to a course, the water-eaten log, the fouled compass. We are, I am, you are, by cowardice or courage, the one who find our way back to this scene, carrying a knife, a camera, a book of myths, in which our names do not appear.
Lester leaps in. Nobody but Lester let Lester leap into a spotlight that got too hot for him to handle, much less keep under control, like thirst in a drought. He had his sensitive side. He had his hat. That glamorous pork pie whose sweatband soaked up all that bad leftover energy. How did he choose those winning titles he'd lay on favorites? Sweets Edison, Sir Charles, Lady Day. Ooh, and his sound, once you savor its flaming, smooth aftertaste. What do you say? Here lived a man, so hard and soft-spoken, he had to be cool enough to hold his horn at angles as sharp as he was heartbroken in order to blow what it's like being born. No.
Bang, bang, outishly. For Monk. Boom, 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 boom. Boom, 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 boom. Tinkle, as ifs, ands, three-toed musical afternoon dreams, midnight visions. Boom, 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 boom. These are Cape players cooking, blue glass cookers funking, edgewise questions inside the answers, chunks, there, edgewise blew them near boil. Funk tree landscape tinkle brewed as answered questions. Cardboard piano orchestras singing as if the hit parade was interplanetary. Boom, 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 boom. We see, he say. Lurks, notes on shoeshine boxes, sideways dudes with big musical fingers, quiet screaming hooded holy rollers, preacher space, rocket church, nutty logic, straight, no chaser. Rhythm blues, I am the boogeyman, the woogeyman, catch as catch can, the rabbit, the monkey, blue hard, blue slick, blue slow, blue quick, blue cool, blue hot, everything I am, everything I'm not. Slave boy Leroy from Newark Hill, if capitalism don't kill me, racism will. Shazam doo-wah. Be there with us back through time, oh wah-wah. Back through years age and old wars climb, oh wah-wah. Be there with us our primitive ways, oh wah-wah. When witch doctors was president and the people were slaves, oh wah-wah. When work, health, education was mysteries and filth was on the tube, oh wah-wah. And races was in power and a minority rule, oh wah-wah. Oh wah-wah, oh wah-wah, oh wah-wah-wah. Don't blame me for not going. I ain't happy with it neither. Don't blame me for staying off there in the future. Oh, wah-wah, our primitive age. Oh, wah-wah, oh, wah-wah. Want to stand, though. We want to stand on up. We want to stand, though. We want to stand on up. Oh, wah-wah, off all fours. Oh, wah-wah, oh, wah-wah. This is called the deep red blues. Oh, wah, oh, wah, oh, wah, wah, wah.
The title of this poem is called Dahomey. And there is a saying that goes with it, which really introduces the poem, and it is, in spite of the fire's heat, the tongs can fetch it. The poem Dahomey. It was in a Bomi that I felt the full blood of my father's wars, and where I found my mother, Sebolisa, standing with outstretched palms, hip high, one breast eaten away by worms of sorrow, magic stones resting upon her fingers, dry as a cough. In the dooryard of the brass workers, four women joined together dyeing cloth, Makeshu's iron quiver, standing erect and flamingly familiar in their dooryard, mute as a porcupine in a forest of lead. In the courtyard of the cloth workers, other brothers and nephews are stitching bright tapestries into tales of blood. But thunder is a woman with braided hair, spelling the Fas of Shangol asleep between sacred pythons that cannot read nor eat the ritual offerings of the Asan. My throat in the panther's lair is unresisting. Bearing true drums on my head, I speak whatever language is needed to sharpen the knives of my tongue. The snake is aware, although sleeping, under my blood, since I am a woman, whether or not you are against me, I will braid my hair, even in the seasons of rain.
And you just heard four poets, Adrian Rich to begin, and then Al Young, each both of those with a single poem, and then you heard Amiri Baraka with, I just wanted to count the poems, three short poems there, and then ended up with Audre Lorde with a single poem, and I think all of them introduced them by the title. So I had mentioned I'm going to include a bit of music on the show today, again, two songs in each hour. So here's the first song, and I'll actually just start it and credit it after. How's that?
Thank you.
Just heard Mazzy Star off of their 1996 album called Among My Swan, and the title of the track that you heard was Flowers in December. And coming up then, let's go back to disc three of Poets Back to Poetry on Record, and you're going to hear three short poems by Charles Simic, and they are called, working off two sheets here, so, We Were So Poor, I Was Stolen by the Gypsies, and Everybody Knows the Story. Then you're going to hear a poem by David Ray called The Greatest Poem in the World, and then Derek Walcott with Amoros. And then Diane Wachowski with I Have Had to Learn to Live with My Face. So let's go ahead and jump right back into those. Let me get lined up here. Here we go. Should be good to go.
We were so poor, I had to take the place of the bait in the mousetrap. All alone in the cellar, I could hear them pacing upstairs, tossing and turning in their beds. These are dark and evil days, the mouse told me as he nibbled my ear. Years passed. My mother wore a cat fur collar, which she stroked until its sparks lit up the cellar. I was stolen by the gypsies. My parents stole me right back. Then the gypsies stole me again. This went on for some time. One minute I was in the caravan, suckling the dark tit of my new mother. The next I sat at the long dining room table, eating my breakfast with a silver spoon. It was the first day of spring. One of my fathers was singing in the bathtub. The other one was painting a live sparrow, the colors of a tropical bird. Everybody knows the story about me and Dr. Freud, says my grandfather. We were in love with the same pair of black shoes in the window of the same shoe store. The store, unfortunately, was always closed. There'd be a sign, debt in the family, or back after lunch. But no matter how long I waited, no one would come to open. Once I caught Dr. Freud there shamelessly admiring the shoes. We glared at each other before going our separate ways, never to meet again.
The Greatest Poem in the World. Once in Crete, I was asleep near the sea. The room was cold, and I woke with the greatest poem ever about to be written in my head. I heard waters running under stone, searched for a light, searched for a fire, nothing. Shivering, I wrote the poem on the sheet in the dark. It was a great poem, and first thing in the morning to celebrate, I ran out and took a swim. It was marvelous to have written the greatest poem in the world. It summed up everything. On the way back from the sea's great reward and kiss of me, I saw the women doing laundry in a huge boiling pot. Three women. They had already washed away the greatest poem in the world. with their greatest pot in the world. And I hadn't memorized it. The sea had taken it. And I stood weeping in the smoke, wind hitting the caverns in my head.
I sang of quiet Achille, Afolabi's son, who never ascended in an elevator, who had no passport since the horizon needs none, never begged nor borrowed, was nobody's waiter, whose end, when it comes, will be a death by water which is not for this book, which will remain unknown and unread by him. I sang the only slaughter that brought him delight, and that from necessity, of fish. Sang the channels of his back in the sun. I sang our wide country, the Caribbean Sea, who hated shoes, whose soles were as cracked as a stone, who was gentle with ropes, who had one suit alone, whom no man dared insult, and who insulted no one, whose grin was a white breaker cresting, but whose frown was a growing thunderhead, whose fist of iron would do me a greater honor if it held on to my casket's oarlocks than mine, lifting his own when both anchors are lowered in the one island. But now the idol dies, the goblet is broken, and rainwater trickles down the brown cheek of a jar from the clay of Choiseul. So much left unspoken by my chirping nib, and my earth door lies ajar. I lie wrapped in a flour sack sail, the clods thud on my rope-lowered canoe. Rasping shovels scrape a dry rain of dirt on its hold. But turn your head when the sea almond rattles or the rust-leaved grape from the shells of my unpharaonic pyramid towards paper shredded by the wind and scattered like white gulls that separate their names from the foam, and nod to a fisherman with his khaki dog that skitters from the wave crash, then frown at his form for one swift second. In its earth trough, my pirogue with its brass-handled oarlocks is sailing, not from but with them, with Hector, with Maud in the rhythm of her beds troweled over, with a swirling log lifting its mast head from the swell. Let the deep hymn of the Caribbean continue my epilogue. May waves remove their shawls as my mourners walk home to their rusted villages, good shoes in one hand, passing a boy who walked through the ignorant foam and saw a sail going out or else coming in, and watched asterisks of rain puckering the sand.
I have had to learn to live with my face. You see me alone tonight. My face has betrayed me again. The garage mechanic who promises to fix my car and never does. My face that my friends tell me is so full of character. My face I have hated for so many years. My face I have made an angry contract to live with, though no one could love it. My face that I wish you would bruise and batter and destroy, napalm it, throw acid in it so that I might have another or be rid of it at last. I drag peacock feathers behind me to erase the trail of the moon. Those tears I shed for myself sometimes in anger. There is no pretense in my life. The man who lives with me must see something beautiful, like a dark snake coming out of my mouth, or love the tapestry of my actions, my life, this body, this face. They have nothing to offer but angry insistence, their presence. I hate them, want my life to be more. Hate their shadow on even my words. I sell my soul for good plumbing and hot water, I tell everyone. And my face is soft, opal, a feathering of snow against the cold black leather coat which is night. You, night, my face against the chilly expanse of your back. Learning to live with what you're born with is the process, the involvement, the making of a life. And I have not learned happily to live with my face, that Diane which always looks better on film than in life. I sternly accept this plain face and hate every moment of that sternness. I want to laugh at this ridiculous face of lemon rinds and vinegar cruets, of unpaved roads and dusty file cabinets, of the loneliness of Wall Street at night and the desert of school on a holiday. But I would have to laugh alone in a cold room, prefer the anger that at least for a moment gives me a proud profile. Always, I've envied the rich, the beautiful, the talented, the go-getters of the world. I've watched myself remain alone, isolated, a fish that swam through the net because I was too small, but remained alone in deep water because the others were caught, taken away. It is so painful for me to think now, to talk about this. I want to go to sleep and never wake up. But self-pity could trail us all, drag us around on the bottom of shoes like squashed snails, so that we might never fight. And it is anger I want now, fury to direct at my face and its author, to tell it how much I hate what it's done to me, to contemptuously, sternly, brutally even, make it live with itself, look at itself every day, and remind itself that reality is learning to live with what you're born with, noble to have been anything but defeated, that pride and anger and silence will hold us above beauty, though we bend down often with so much anguish for a little beauty, a word like the blue night, the night of rings covering the floor and glinting into the fire, the water, the wet earth, the age of songs, guitars, angry busloads of etched tile faces, old gnarled tree trunks, anything with the beauty of wood, teak, lemon, cherry. I lost my children because I had no money, no husband. I lost my husband because I was not beautiful. I lost everything a woman needs, wants, almost before I became a woman, my face shimmering and flat as the moon with no features. I look at pictures of myself as a child. I looked lumpy, unformed, like a piece of dough, and it has been my task as a human being to carve out a mind, carve out a face, carve out a shape with arms and legs, to put a voice inside and to make a person from a presence. And I don't think I'm unique. I think 1,000 of you at least can look at those old photos, reflect on your life, and see your own sculpture at work. I have made my face as articulate as I can, and it turns out to be a peculiar face with too much bone in the bridge of the nose, small eyes, pale lashes, thin lips, wide cheeks, a rocky chin. But it's almost beautiful compared to the sodden mass of dough I started out with. I wonder how we learn to live with our faces. They must hide so much pain, so many deep trenches of blood, so much that would terrorize and drive others away if they could see it. The struggle to control it articulates the face. And what about those people with elegant noses and rich lips? What do they spend their lives struggling for? Am I wrong? I constantly ask myself, to value the struggle more than the results, or only to accept a beautiful face if it has been toiled for? Tonight, I move alone in my face. Want to forgive all the men whom I've loved who've betrayed me. After all, the great betrayer is that one I carry around each day, which I sleep with at night, my own face, angry building I fought to restore, imbued with arrogance, pride, anger, and scorn. To love this face would be to love a desert mountain, a killer, rocky, water hard to find, no trees anywhere. Perhaps I do not expect anyone to be strange enough to love it but you.
And you just heard us four poets read off of 98 poetry on record. I always say that backwards. Poetry on record, 98 poets read their work, 1888 to 2006. And you heard three poems by Charles Simic, and then a poem each by David Ray, Derek Walcott, and Diane Wachowski. And what I'd like to do now is play that second song of the hour. And I am just pulling it up now, and I will tell you what, I will introduce it after it plays. How's that? So here we go. Here it is.
Sad sparrow.
way.
And you just heard Feist off of her Metals album. And that came out, I believe, in 2011. Hard to believe. I got that CD right after it came out, and it's hard to believe I've had it that long. Crazy, 15 years ago. Yeah, double check just to make sure I wasn't mistaken. So anyway, it's about 45 minutes after 4 o'clock, and you are listening to Finding a Voice here on CFRC 101.9 FM. And coming up next, there are two poets left that I'm going to play in this hour off of this third disc. Let me make sure I'm not skipping anybody here. Double checking. Hate to backtrack sometimes. Oh, and they're supposed to be... yeah, no, I think I've got them all here. So let me double check one more thing. Yeah. So anyway, two more poets. Sorry to delay this. Up first, you're going to hear Erica Young reading her poem. Let me find it here. Ode to My Shoes. And then you're going to hear Etheridge Knight with his poem, The Idea of Ancestry. So let's go ahead and bring those both up. Here we go.
The next one is called Ode to My Shoes. And in this poem, the shoes become a metaphor for my life. I give this poem as a kind of homage to Pablo Neruda, who wrote a wonderful poem for his socks. Ode to My Shoes, after Neruda, who left us his socks. The poet alone is writing an ode to her shoes which only she can fill, her shoes of purple suede and green leather the color of palm fronds, her diamond-studded boots, her feathered cowboy boots, her flame cowboy boots, her seven-league epic poetry boots, her little silver haiku boots with the tiny heels that twinkle, her first-person platform boots, and her backless glass slippers modeled after Cinderella's, one lost at midnight because of a running man, her huntress boots of India rubber, her lover's boots joined at the ankle like leg irons, her pink baby booties bronzed for posterity, her daughter's burning Reeboks, her lover's laceless sneakers left in the guest room closet for her to kiss year after year after year. Darling shoes, beloved feet, 10 toes to walk me toward my true love, fuck me pumps to fuel his passion, stiletto heels to stab him if he strays. Shoes tell you everything. Shoes speak my language. Their tap, tap, tap on the airport runway tells me the story of a lovely, lonely woman flying after love. That old, old story in a new pair of shoes.
I started making up this poem when I was in solitary one time. After being called by a number for 5 years, 30,562, I was beginning to forget who I was. The idea of ancestry. Taped to the wall of my cell are 47 pictures, 47 black faces. My father, mother, grandmothers, one dead, grandfathers, both dead, brothers, sisters, uncles, aunts, cousins, first and second, nieces and nephews. They stare across the space at me, sprawling on my bunk. I know their dark eyes, they know mine. I know their style, they know mine. I am all of them, they are all of me. They are farmers, I am a thief. I am me, they are thee. I have at one time or another been in love with my mother, one grandmother, two sisters, two aunts, one went to the asylum, and five cousins. I am now in love with a seven-year-old niece. She sends me letters written in large block print, and her picture is the only one that smiles at me. I have the same name as one grandfather, three cousins, three nephews, and one uncle. The uncle disappeared when he was 15, just took off and caught a freight, they say. He's discussed each year when the family has a reunion. He causes uneasiness in the clan. He is an empty space. My father's mother, who is 93 and who keeps the family Bible with everybody's birth dates and death dates in it, always mentions him. There's no place in her Bible for whereabouts unknown. Each fall, the graves of my grandfathers call me. The brown hills and red gullies of Mississippi send out their electric messages, galvanizing my genes. Last year, like a salmon quitting the cold ocean, leaping and bucking up his birth stream, I hitchhiked my way from L.A. with 16 caps in my pocket and a monkey on my back. And I almost kicked it with the kinfolk. I walked barefooted in my grandmother's backyard. I smelled the old land and the woods. I sipped corn whiskey from fruit jars with the men. I flirted with the women. I had a ball till the caps ran out and my habit came down. That night, I looked at my grandmother and split. My guts were screaming for junk, but I was almost contented. I had almost caught up with me. The next day in Memphis, I cracked a croaker's crib for a fix. This year, there is a gray stone wall damming my stream, and when the falling leaves stir my jeans, I pace my cell a flop on my bunk and stare at 47 black faces across the space. I am all of them, they are all of me. I am me, they are thee, and I have no sons to float in the space between.
And you just heard from, again, a four-CD set of poems called Poets on Record. 98 poets read their work, 1888 to 2006. And in a selection from disc three, you heard, or I should say, you just heard Erica Young and Etheridge Knight, each with a poem. But in total this hour, the 10 poets you heard were Adrian Rich, Al Young, Amiri Baraka, Audre Lorde, Charles Simic, David Ray, Derek Walcott, Diane Wachowski, Erica Young, and Etheridge Knight. And again, you heard a couple of songs. And I hope I would like to thank you for tuning into the first hour. I hope you can stay tuned to the second hour. I'm going to be playing more from that. In the second hour, 12 additional poets coming up. I'll mention those again shortly and again after the top of the hour. So for those people who are only able to catch the last hour of the show, I tend to do that as well. But before we get into all of that, there are a few things I should play. And I'll tell you what, let's go ahead and do that here now. And I'll be right back.
Friday evenings at 6 p.m. here on CFRC, listen to Saltwater Music, a show covering all musical genres from the East Coast of Canada. Celtic, of course, but also rock, jazz, blues, folk, and a lot more. I'm your host, Rob Carnell. Tune in to Saltwater Music Friday evening from 6 to 8 here on CFRC 101.9 FM. Or you can catch us on the web at www.cfrc.ca. And for our listeners out east, that's 7 p.m. Atlantic and 7:30 Newfoundland.
Hey, hey, hey. You want to kick the summer heat and get a nice treat? Don't hesitate to make a date to visit Old Farm Fine Foods. Pizza, frittata, sausage rolls, sandwiches, soups, and more are ready and waiting to get in your belly. Plus, you can also buy fresh and frozen food to prepare at home. Pop into the shop Monday through Sunday between 8 to 6 at 204 Berry Street. And don't forget to follow Old Farm Fine Foods on Instagram at Old Farm FF to get the scoop on the latest goodies. Old Farm Fine Foods, comfort food you can count on.
Hello and welcome to Salt Licked in Rapture. I'm your host, Nishan Tung. Salt Licked in Rapture is a sonic exploration of, to quote Virginia Woolf, violent waves of emotion. Featuring both known and lesser known musicians and poets, a special emphasis is placed on oddball, enigmatic, outsider artists whose work invokes dreamscapes and feelings of alienation, nostalgia, melancholy, existential unease, and yearning. Join me on Fridays at 8 p.m. on CFRC 101.9 FM.
Did you know that when a car hits a turtle, their shell can crack?
Turtles need to get from one side of the road to the other to find food, mate, lay eggs without getting hit by a car.
It is a problem because a turtle can get seriously injured.
Slow down if you see a turtle on the road, and if it is safe, move the turtle across the road carefully.
This message was brought to you by the students of Linklater Public School, Grade 4 class, and Sandy Hines Wildlife Center.
Folk Everything is your passport to the finest in folk music. Old, new, and everything in between. The wonderful, the wild, and the weird.
Walk quietly by, he won't bother you. He's a busy man, he's got things to do.
It's all here Saturdays from 10 a.m. until 1 p.m. Folk Everything with Hugh on CFRC 101.9 FM in Kingston.
When it comes to Kingston real estate, local experience matters. Kim Purcell is an award-winning realtor born and raised in Kingston with over a decade of experience and 100 five-star reviews. If you want honest advice and results you can trust, choose Kim. Visit kimpurcell.ca today for more information.
And welcome back, or me, I guess I'm welcoming back. So anyway, you've been out there, you've been waiting with through that 6 seconds of silence while I was trying to figure out what I was doing next. So here we go. I think I've got it figured out. Anyway, thank you again for listening to the first hour of this show today. You are and have been listening to Finding a Voice on CFRC FM, it's located in Lower Carruthers Hall, Queen's University, Kingston, Ontario. My name is Bruce. I'm here every Friday afternoon from 4 to 6 o'clock. We do stream live online as well at www.cfrc.ca. And again, for those of you that were tuned in earlier to this hour, you heard 10 poets, and so there are going to be 12 more. It is almost 4:58 out there. Might just mention a couple of events that are coming up quickly, especially since, let's see where we are here. The first event coming up is that I have on my list here is the Journey Continues open mic reading in that monthly series, it's been running since 2009 in their fourth venue now. We meet, I shouldn't say they, because I'm part of that group too. We meet at the Elm Cafe, which is located at 303 Montreal Street. Doors open at 6:30, the event runs from 7 to 9:15 p.m. Again, the Elm Cafe, 303 Montreal Street, Kingston. It's a first Tuesday night of the month event that happens year-round, free event, and just come sign up. Poems are read in the round, and usually two rounds each evening that we meet there. Also happening on the first Tuesday night of the month in Madoc is a group called the First Tuesday Muse, and it is also a first Tuesday night of the month open mic with host TJ Best. Check their Facebook page for info and updates. It's happening at Finn's Pub and Patio, which is at 231 Durham Street South. They're in Madoc, and they do have a Facebook group page for their event as well, so you can check that out. Again, theirs happens Tuesday, June 2nd at 7 p.m. and runs till 9 o'clock. And trying to see if there's anything else. We're sort of running out of time anyway, so I'll tell you what. I just want to thank you as we kind of slide over into the second hour here. Thank you for tuning in. And I guess I can, at this point, sort of officially welcome you back into the second hour of the show.